I think we're going to, well, I know we're going to. The title of this message is going to be, She Is But One. She Is But One. Going to go to Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and go down to 8 and 9. There are 80 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove. Now notice the things that he says, my. She's her, she is his. And she has said that, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine and he feeds among the lilies. My dove, my undefiled, she is but one. And we know that that's a rib portion. It's not just, but let me tell you, when it gets down to the whole body, it's pretty small. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her, and they blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. But we want to be the bride of him. And I thought it was amazing that, I can't remember where I was reading, but you could search it out, that we're waiting for our bridegroom. And when Israel said, behold, your king cometh. And I was thinking, wow, even those two things are so different. But we're into an intimate relationship with him. But he says, my dove. When he says, my dove, that is a term of endearment. She's innocent. She's very gentle. It's like a cooing dove. If you've ever seen doves outside, they're not out bothering everybody. They're resting. They're just enjoying life. And I thought of how so many people labor to be in the bride. They work so hard. They want to change their lives. And it has nothing to do with that. It's I am wanting to know him. And as we do, and we're going to see, there's going to be a provisional and a practical, and it's going to come in. But if you don't have those first three chapters, you're not going to be able to do the practical walk. Because in the very beginning of our salvation, it was by grace through faith that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Well, if she's my dove, and I know that woman is going to be led by the Spirit of God. She must speak when he says speak. But what does the Holy Spirit say? And I mean, what does he, out of his mouth, what is going to come out from the Holy Spirit? If you go in John 16, it says he doesn't speak of himself. He always wants to lift up Christ. He wants to preach Christ among the body because that's who you're going to be found in. And it's like, and it's inner labor to enter into that rest. You know, when they went into the ark, it was a place of protection. It was a provision. And those judgment waters could not hurt them. It was those on the outside that did not enter in. But they were told, and they'll never be able to say that they were not told, there is a rain coming. They have been told the rain was going to come. My dove, but she's my undefiled. And I like it when I look this up. She's complete. You see, she's complete. She's undefiled. And I wrote down all of it that was in there. My undefiled, she's perfect, complete. She's flawless. And when I said she's gentle, she's not with pride. She's not talking about herself. Look at all this stuff I got. Oh, I'm so smart. And he's chose me. This is something we have to take personally. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, she was so wrapped up in draw me and we will run after you. But by chapter 2, she's saying, I. This is now an intimate walk between her and her love of her life. She realizes now she's had to grow. She's had trials. Because she thought, oh, they're going to love it. They're going to take it. They're going to walk in this. We're going to run after you. Because she knew he was so special. They didn't want it. They didn't want it, and they begin to do what to her? And you'll even see it. She's going to have to suffer. Well, who's your beloved more than another's beloved? You know, what makes him so special? And I think that as the wanting to be in the bride, if someone asks me, well, who is this love? Why do you think he's better than ours? I've had people this week call me and ask me, Mother Mary, do they pray to her? Do they actually? And I said, yes. And I said, but always don't condemn them. But if someone asks you, you tell them. I've seen them give her flowers. And I said, use the word of God. The word of God, he's showing us how much we need to labor to enter into this rest. That is a statue. It has ears, it can't hear. It has a nose, it can't discern. It has eyes, it cannot see you. There's nothing about that statue that can do anything for you. We are entering in, and I wanted to say last Sunday night, and I've been really thinking on this, she's but one. You see, one man, Christ Jesus, died once for all. And as I walk through, and I call it a walk, because I used to wonder, why are they praising this tabernacle? What in the world's going on? Because I wasn't on the inside of it. I didn't see what was going on. I didn't see that he died for me. I didn't see every piece mentions him. Everything that holds it together, it was him. It's a description of our bridegroom and the love that he had for us. So I went into the holiest of holies, because we can. Into the very presence of God. Into the very presence in that room. And he said, it's a perfect cube, complete. You see, she's complete in him provisionally. Sit down in the holiest of holies. Sit down, rest. Now, when you're looking back, you're sitting up here now. Look back. There's a cross. Everything the love of your life did for you, every one of those things. I don't have to get up now and run back down there and try to do something to fix it. He did it. He made a way. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Well, she's undefiled. She's complete. She is one. She's the only one of her mother. Who's the mother? Mother Grace. She's the only one of Mother Grace. She's the choice one, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. She's the choice one of her that bear her. She bears her. It's that grace of God that's bringing us forth and that resurrection and that life. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, that was grace. That was favor to us. But he also resurrected. And I was sharing yesterday, I said, you know, we tend to look at Israel and say, you know, they rejected. They rejected him on the cross. They rejected him as a resurrection Lord who would come back. And people tend to look at that. Are you accepting him in the resurrection and the life? Because there is only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And that should be the life that I now live. And we're going to see about that, the faith. But she is one. Then you go over to chapter 7 of Song of Solomon. And I always like this because she describes him from the top of his head as the head of her life. She goes from the head to the feet. He goes from her feet. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes. He loves her walk. He wants us to walk in him, walk in the light, walk in his love, walk. There are so many walks in the scripture. And it isn't I have to do anything. It's I have to realize I died with him, I'm buried with him, I'm in a new life now. I'm walking in Jesus. Watch him do things. Watch what he does. How beautiful are your feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach good news. Let me tell you, that bride who is but one, she's gonna be shouting out good news to everyone. Because what? He is the good news. He is the gospel. And Paul said, there is no other gospel. We must preach him in whatever depth of truth. As long as you can show it by the word of God, it is still Paul's gospel. You share Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, if you will, I want you to go over to Ephesians. Chapter 4, I believe. Ephesians chapter 4. Remember I said there were three things that I mentioned, that she's my love, she's my dove, she's the choice one of her mother that bare her. But she also knows this seven things about a godly woman or a godly life, being in the body of Christ. She knows that. And she sees it as one body, the unity of the Spirit. And I look in the verse above it and it said, unto him be glory in the church. We are the church. We are the body of Jesus. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that means so be it. So it's not just now. It's not just right now in our lives that he is being glorified. He's being shown. He's on exhibit. We are magnifying the grace of God. And as you keep going, it's now the unity, the oneness. She sees it. She's learning it, because as we do, we're going to rest. We're going to see how we perfectly fit. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Well, everyone says, well, how are you going to walk worthy? How are you going to walk worthy? Well, I'm worthy because I'm in Christ. And I have to learn that through the word of God. But walking worthy is when you see. Remember, you have to get Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Get that and know that God has provided exactly what's needed. It's called provisional side of the gospel. Then you go into chapter 4. You got to get 1, 2, and 3 and see how blessed you are. And know more and grow up. Then I, therefore, the prisoner, I beg you, you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And there's a comma there. How are you going to walk worthy? Well, you're going to know, you're going to do it with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That is true dependence upon the grace of God. You cannot do any of that without God's grace. And it says lowliness. That's true humility. That's dependent upon the grace of God. Meekness is let God fight the battle. You know, I choose to believe God. God is able to do this. God is able to make me ready. You know, that was something I know each one of you, the Lord speaks something precious to your heart about being in the bride. You know, he'll let you know, don't let any man say that I'm not able to do it. What I've said I will do, I shall do it. Same thing with Abraham. That's that Abrahamic covenant. We enter into that. Meekness, let God fight for you because God is able to fight these battles. Long suffering. It's not just you're going to suffer all the time, but long suffering means you have an attitude of God's grace. That's the attitude of your heart. You're long suffering, forbearing one another. As he hath forbeared, he did that for you. Long suffering, he did that for you. Magnify him. Well, I don't know how you can love me like that. Well, I love you because that's how he loved me. And he said, continue in the same love. We're not supposed to change it. Change the love of God. He said, forbearing one another. You're going to have to bear up one another sometimes. Help, hold them up. Show them God's grace. Keep the unity. It's another thing, the expression of the grace of God. Keep the unity. Guard it from all loss, harm, or injury. Why? By keeping your eye upon it. We have need of grace moment by moment. And as I looked in this, it said, then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I thought, there's that peace. And Paul always said, grace and peace to you. If you show grace, there's going to be peace. If you show legality, there ain't no peace. There's no peace in that. And grace and law cannot mix. We're talking about someone who really understands grace and the love of God. There is one body. There'll be seven things. Remember, she is his love. She's mine. She's undefiled. She's complete. The choice one of her mother that bare her. She's the one that grace is bringing her forth. We want to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. That's the church. We're one body. Now, has people broken up that one body and said, here we're this, and this is this, and this? We don't enter into that. Come out from among all that. Come out of that stuff. I want to be a father unto you. Not just God. I want to be your father. I want to dwell in the house. It's my house. The El Bethel, the God of the house of God. It was Bethel. It was the house of God. But the El Bethel is let him be the God of his own house. There is one body, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one hope, and that's with Christ in our calling. We have that hope of your calling. There's one Lord. He's the head. He is the head of the body. When you first got saved, you had faith of the Son of God. You knew that Jesus had to agree with his Father, or he could not walk together. They would be in agreement. He agreed to take that place, to come down and go to the cross for us. Now he's risen. He wasn't just buried. He's rose. He is the head. He is the Lord. He should be the head of your life. That's who you pray to. You know, and I think of even Daniel. He did go in request of somebody else. But I'll tell you what, first he should have went to God. Are we asking God what God wants? And then we make our request. Then we go to God. Even when he requested they didn't have certain food to eat, he asked, is it okay if we just have this? I think I'd want to jump on the other side and eat all the other stuff. But Daniel purposed in his heart. One. He had one God. There is one faith. Everybody said the faith of this. And you'll hear people say, I just have the faith for that. I don't have the faith for that. And it's not your faith. It's his faith. He had to believe his Father to even be in the wilderness journey. He always said, it is written, it is written, it is written. There was one baptism. When you go to Pentecost, we were baptized into one body. There's one God. There's an individual body, but you know what? God himself, God gave gifts to the body. You know why? When I looked at this and I seen the measure, right here where it says, but unto every one of us, we need to remember, God is the Father of all. He is above all. He's through all, and he's in you all. But to every one of us, and that doesn't exclude anybody in the body, you need each other in this body. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gave gifts to every one of you so you could give that gift to his body. You have something to offer. You hear people say, well, I'm not very important in the body of Christ. And are you looking at how he sees you or how you see yourself and how others might see you? We have to see as God sees. He said, I am important. And we should all feel that same. We are so important in the body. And he's given us gifts. What are you doing with the gift he's given you? He's given you a measure. And I looked it up in the Strong's. And it says he's given you a portion. You only had a portion in the beginning when you got the gift. When God gave his gift of his only begotten son, but you believed it and you were saved, you're going to still have to continue believing God for the maturity, for the perfection. It's going to happen. He said it can happen. We just yield to what he says, the grace that he gives. Your gifts, even the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, they all had something that was given to them. Remember that. That's why you don't look at the person. You're looking at if they give anything, God had to give it to them first and they received it. And now as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to give it out to others as a benefit, to build them up, show them how important they are. Love them the way they're supposed to be loved. We are the gift to the body. Now I want us to go over to Romans chapter 10. Because I got to share with my friend last night. She said, had you not told me that? She just kept going, wow. If you hadn't have told me that. I go, he told you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how much he loves you. He sees the desire of your heart. Not me. I want you to have whatever I got in him. But look at him first. He loves you so much. He's given you the revelation of truth. I looked in here and it said, for with the heart man believeth. That's verse 10 of chapter 10 of Romans. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And he says, come out from among them. You know, don't be mingling unrighteousness with righteousness. There are professors. There are possessors, but there are also professors. Now, do I have to go around and go, oh, I think you're just a professor? No. You're going to know by their spirit. You're going to know by the spirit that lives and abides in you. Try the Spirit. Know whether it be of God. But it's going to be in your heart. They share. Jesus died for me, and I asked him to come in my heart, and he did. I'm saved. They have eternal salvation. They don't understand all that stuff in the beginning. I sure didn't. Sometimes I wish people would have stopped using those big old words. You know, they take these big words and say them to you. It looks real smart. But I'm going to tell you, you get people like me that are listening. We don't understand a word you're saying. We can't get past the word. I have to go in and get a dictionary and say, what does that mean? Sometimes I'll sit here in the pew and I'll listen to Gene, and sometimes he'll say a bigger word. My daughter does that. I go, I don't even know what that word means. And then Gene will say what it means right after. You know why? Because God sees the heart of the people sitting here. God will let you know. I have sat in Bible. You'll read in Bible classes, or you're sitting there going, I didn't get that. Or you're listening to a tape. I've listened to Paul Smith. And you'll be listening, I didn't get that. And he'll say, in case you didn't get that, I go, how do you know? It's because God knows. God knew you were going to sit down. God knew you were going to listen to the word of God. Well, let me tell you, these people who called upon him, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, because it's the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then? How? And I had written, I'd done a message before about the hows. How then are they going to call on him in whom they've never believed? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are they going to call on someone? They don't even know him. That's the importance of preaching this and teaching this word, so they can grow up to be in the bride. How shall they believe in him? They've never even heard about him. I mean, you got people that they always say, well, you shouldn't be telling them about the bride. They don't know that stuff. You know, let me tell you something. It is not our place to decide what we're going to preach and what we're going to say to anybody. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. Time may be short. I don't know why God does it. But he knows those hearts that are sitting, listening to truth. He knows exactly what they have need of. We are to be led what he wants us to say. How shall they hear if there's not even a preacher? Where'd we be if we didn't have preachers or teachers? Apostles, what about the apostles? How would we know anything? Thank God for Noah's. Thank God for Job. Thank God for all those testimonies in the Word of God. Thank God for each of your lives, because your lives are a testimony, a living life before me. How shall they preach except they be sent? First, they learned the Word of God, rightly divided. Then, and I love this because God is so good. Someone told me, and there, I'm not even going to give you the scripture because I don't know where it's at, but you'll probably know what it is. But it's that one where it says there's not going to be anyone getting married here on earth, and there's something else it talks about. And it was more or less like, there's not going to be a marriage there. All this stuff about marriage, and God brought it to me, and he said, there won't be because they missed it. They missed it. They're taking that word out of context and bringing it. And I knew, I was like, I don't know why I don't believe that, but I don't believe it. And then God, he just, in his grace and mercy, I was listening to someone who had given me a CD, and they brought that verse out. And it was like, it was totally different than what I was being told in my ear. That's why, if you don't get it, don't say you're wrong. Or, I don't believe that because I don't see it. Keep watering it. You know, I like what Norm's always taught me. Don't force feed it. It ain't going to do no good. You can force feed your kids. You can tell them everything you want. Force it on them. Go ahead. It ain't going to do no good, because they're going to rebel against you. They don't want to have you force feeding. They want you to love them. Be gentle and kind. Well, if you're going to be sent, he's going to give you what to say, right? He does. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to preach everything I've given him. It's all about me. He's not going to talk about him. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. Here we go again. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Who? You know, when you hear that, don't you want him to say, how beautiful are your feet. They have shoes upon them. Go in and find out what all those words mean. That's like, she's undefiled. I didn't know that meant she was complete. I just remember seeing undefiled when I lived in Burlingame, and I went, well, I ain't gonna be in the bride then. You see, because I was looking at me. She's undefiled, she's this, she's that. I was going, well, that's not me. But I had to grow. Someone had to keep preaching the word of God. Not in condemnation. Not because I got it and you don't. Preach the word of God and let them see. Look. They look at themselves and they see no hope. They saw nothing. I saw nothing until he said, you're going to be found in me. Everything, spirit, soul, and body. Found in him. That's how we walk today, in him. Not in us trying to be him. In him. So imagine what he says when he sees this bride who's laying hold. Don't you think God wants to see us laying hold of this truth and saying, oh, I love these words. I love it. It describes my bridegroom to be able to look. You know, when they asked the Shulamite, oh, who is your beloved? That woman, she started explaining him everything about him. That's going to be the bride. She's going to know. I'll tell you about him. He's this. He's my head. He's this. He's this. He's this. He walks with me. He talks with me. He gave himself for me. I mean, you think about it. How much can you describe your bridegroom? When you see him, are you going to know him? I believe we will. As much as we know him today, we're taking this truth in. He's showing us who he is. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You know, hearing it is one thing, but they got to believe it. John, write it down. Write it down so whoever reads it, whoever hears this, they're going to be blessed. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. And Moses, all these different ones that happened, I think of all the ones who just yielded. I liked what we learned in our class this week. But God met me where I was. I used to really think the children of Israel were crying out to God. They were crying because of reason of bondage. That's why they were crying, but God heard them. God heard the cries by reason of their bondage. And he has already had a plan for them. I don't think they were going, can you do this? Can you do that? Make that one stop this. They were crying. It was hard on them. And he heard them, and he saw everything that was happening to them. That'll give you such peace when you know that God is watching you. God is watching you. God sees what people do to you. God sees what people say about you. They may not say it in front of your face, but God saw it. God heard it. See, if I don't have that peace of knowing God is for me, you know, I'll tell you what, if I gossip or I say anything about anyone in here, I guarantee you I get corrected immediately. That was like that one part that says, those little ones, woe be unto you if you hurt one of those little ones. I used to think that was just a little kid. I really did. We are little. We are his little ones, dependent upon him. Woe be unto them that are trying to hurt them and come against them. We should be for them, helping them. Oh, thou of little faith. There's so many little things in the scripture, but so powerful. And I had to, what did I have to do to find that out? You had to study. And I'm not kidding. When I saw it, I went, well, I thought as if they hurt one of these little ones that it's just like taking that thing. They're going to put it around your neck, the millstone, it's going to sink, and goodbye to you. But God showed me it was different. That wasn't what it meant. So I'm thankful that now I can share what has been given, what has been revealed. Let's all stand. Father, I just thank you and I worship you for your word, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your tender, loving care that you have for each one of us that are sitting here, Lord. We come to hear about you and to grow up and to know that we are undefiled when we take our place in you. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. And Father, we have to realize all these things, that it was everything in Christ. I just thank you for that. I ask you to lead and guide each one of us, direct our paths. Father, help us, give us the grace to say amen, that it is well with my soul. Father, I ask you to be with Gene as he brings forth the word of God. We want to hear from you, Father. We want to hear your word. We want to be ready for the soon calling. And I just thank you for all the provisions you've given us, Lord. I just ask that you be with all of us in the name of Jesus. Amen.